Aren't you grateful for our praise team? Me too. Brian and the praise team, help us to come into the presence of God. I'm just so grateful for that. Today we are in the letter of James, chapter 1. We're going to talk about listening a little bit. Before we do that, we're going to pray, and before we pray, I just want to share with you, George and Adrian Melnick are really having a struggle right now, so if you would lift them up in prayer, we're trying to put together some help for them in just different kind of support ways, but just continue to lift them up in prayer as they're having some extra intense struggles right now. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we come to you today knowing that you have the answers before we even know the questions. So we ask today that you would be with our brother and sister, George and Adrian, that you would bring healing and strength and patience and perseverance on their journey. Lord, we lift ourselves up to you today as we are about to share in your word. Remind us that your word never goes out and produces nothing. Your word always produces something. So prepare our hearts. Don't let the shortcoming of the preacher or the listeners get in the way of what you have for us today. And for that, we'll thank you forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, I saw a funny film clip on one of those funniest home video TV shows. Have you ever seen those before? It was a shot at a wedding from the back of the sanctuary, looking up toward the aisle at the bride and the groom. Now, because of the camera angle, you could see several members of the congregation, you know, on the aisle side of the pews. Now, suddenly, during the vows between the bride and the groom, a man who was seated in one of the pews jumped up from his pew and said, "Yes! Yes! Finally, yes!" And he pumped his fists in the air. Then he froze, looked around, and sheepishly sat back down in his seat while he took the little earbuds he had out of his ears. As it turned out, he had been listening to the Auburn-Alabama football game, and his team, Auburn, had just scored. Now, everyone in the wedding knew that Auburn had just scored. And it was also clear to everyone in attendance that he hadn't really been doing a great job at listening to the matrimonial festivities going on right in front of him. A little embarrassing. Now, not to cast judgment, but we've all had times when we're physically in one place, but mentally in another, right? That was a question, right? And not listening in either one of those places. We've all been there. I mean, with all the distractions in the world, listening and focusing in on the moment can be very, very difficult. So the question today is, are you a good listener? H. Norman Wright, a marriage counselor and prolific Christian author, once said this: "Listening intently with one's mouth shut is a basic communication skill needed in relationships." Can you identify with that? Listening is vitally important in the life of believers like you and me. It's the link which keeps our hearts connected, and it is the life-giving sunlight which allows us to grow strong in our faith and expand our caring for other people. That is, for example, when we ask another person what's wrong. It's the discernment that comes from careful listening which can tell us when something is bothering her or him, even though they respond, "Nothing." It's the chance to step out of the concentrated whirlpool of our own world and see that there are other important things going on in the lives of our loved ones and our friends and our community, just as important as the things we're experiencing personally. Listening is the difference between hearing and caring about the important realities of life from those close to us and inappropriately responding in anger or disinterest because we've been too quick to judge what they've shared with us. Listening is oxygen to the lungs of our soul. We can't live without it. So how is it, Christian, that we become the listeners which God intended us to be? I'm sharing an area of life with you that I struggle with and mess up with all the time, so let's try and challenge one another today, okay? James, the half-brother of Jesus, has something to say about listening. So place an ear to what he says in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Crazy, right? But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious yet don't keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So, what does God want James to teach us here? Let's just pull out a few things from this passage and apply them to our lives, all right? One is, our daily habit is to be quick to listen and slow to speak, right? We're going slow. How many of us do that perfectly? I don't either. You could call it the two ears, one mouth principle. You see, God gave us an object lesson attached right to our faces that we see every time we look at our mugs in the mirror. That is, God gave us two ears and one mouth. Two ears and one mouth. So we should be listening twice as much as we speak, and that can be difficult. For example, did you know that the typical U.S. married couple spends 4 minutes a day in meaningful conversation with each other? 4 minutes. That's 0.3% of the hours in a day. And you know what's really scary? That statistic was arrived at in 1995, before the cell phone got into everybody's pocket. And that's just not married couples. It's most people who don't tend to realize the importance of two ears and one mouth. So if we try to reverse this habit, what are the benefits of practicing God's model? Well, for one, we hear other people. And it's a pretty good start. I mean, we actually hear another opinion other than our own. We can begin to understand the process of how people arrive at their opinions and their thoughts. We can begin to realize that people might hold different opinions than we do because they've had different life experiences, both good and bad, which brings them to the current opinion or position that they hold. And probably most importantly, that their present opinion, if it happens to disagree with our own, by and large, is nothing personal. It's just different. And it's okay. But what do? Oh, I can't believe they believe that hogwash. What's the matter with them? They must be stupid or something. Take a deep breath, folks. It's okay. Relax. Here's a newsflash just coming in off the wire. People think differently. Everybody say, people think differently. And on a much more important note, besides opinions on matters which we may or may not agree with, we begin to understand the person to whom we're listening when we listen. We learn more than any other position paper can tell us, or any newscast, or any opinion poll. In a church I used to pastor, and yes, pastors talk about the churches they used to pastor, so you all should be careful for one day. Anyway, in a church I used to pastor, there was a man who was as nasty as you could ever imagine. I mean nasty. His middle initial was N. You know what it stood for? Nasty. And after meeting one night, in a very positive meeting where we made some key decisions which would eventually benefit the church for the next decade, this guy cornered me in the parking lot and let me have it with both barrels. I mean, he said every nasty thing a human tongue could say. I mean, it wasn't just blue, it was dark blue. It was nasty navy. You know what I mean? He started poking me in the chest. He started pushing me, verbally threatening me. I mean, there was fire in his eyes. Someone else from the meeting came by, and at that point, this nasty guy got in his car and he peeled wheels out of the church parking lot, ending this 20-minute encounter. That was nice and awesome for sure. I recommend it. So I was a little hot. I was kind of ready to do something that I'd regret, like get in my car and chase him down the road. And this other man who had walked by said, Ed, that guy has nothing personal against you. And he went on to explain that that particular guy, the nasty guy, who had just minutes before peeled wheels out of the parking lot with me standing right behind his car, had experienced hurt in his life since childhood that is so awful, I couldn't even begin to share it with you. And the man said, Ed, he shadow boxes with his past every day. And that's when I first learned by listening that hurt people. When we take the time to listen to an explanation like that, instead of going over to the guy's house and continuing the experience like I wanted to, which was sure to end like a bad episode of Cops, we see things in a different perspective. As we're quick to listen, we learn what's really going on isn't what we initially thought was going on, and it becomes a little clearer to us. Another reason it's good to remember that we have two ears and one mouth is that when we listen and talk less, anger can't gain a foothold. Have you ever noticed that arguments never, ever, I mean never, ever, ever start because a person listened too much? You ever notice that? I haven't even thought about it because it never happens. Joe, what happened? Why did you guys start fighting? Well, Ed, you won't believe it. I was innocently sharing my political views and why I was right and everyone else was wrong. And that guy sat there and he had the unmitigated gall to listen to every word I said and then ask me respectful questions. Can you believe that? It made me so angry, I punched him in the nose. I mean, it never happens that way. You see, when we listen, we never get a chance to get the angry going. We don't get a chance to get our angry on. There's no momentum. Now, everyone needs to prepare themselves for something you will never hear me say. So just take a deep breath. Everybody, take a deep breath. Okay? Because I'm about to say something nice and complimentary about the New York Giants. Pay attention. It will never happen again. Way back in 1991, I think it was the Mesozoic era, the New York Giants were playing the Buffalo Bills in Super Bowl 25. I was 25 when Super Bowl, I am as old as whenever the Super Bowl is being played, that's how old I am. Anyway, the Buffalo Bills were considered by far the better team on paper and on the field than the New York Giants were. They had an offense that was so powerful, they could score points with just a couple of plays. And the idea that the genius Bill Parcells came up with was that he needed to keep the Bills' offense off the field so they couldn't score. So his idea was that when the Giants got the ball, they would hold on to the ball as long as they could. Whether they scored or not, they'd hold on to the ball as long as they could, thereby not letting Buffalo get their offense on the field and score really quickly, right? You're following me on that? Pam is following me on that. She is nodding like crazy. In essence, Bill Parcells says from the opening kickoff, we are trying to run out the clock. And in that game, the Giants held the ball for over 40 minutes, and the Bills had the ball for less than 20. The Giants won 20-19. Why? Because the Bills never got a chance to get their offense going. They could never gain any momentum. It's the same thing with anger. When we listen twice as much as we speak, and keep in mind that listening includes not arriving at silent judgments while you appear to be listening, or hoping the other person stops talking so you can deluge them with your thoughts. When we listen twice as much as we speak, anger never gets a chance to gain any momentum. My friends, hereby ends the complimentary comments about the New York Giants. Amen and amen. Listening means listening. When we listen, anger never gets a chance to go on the offensive. It may get some points occasionally because we're not perfect, but it will never score enough to defeat you. When we listen and talk less, anger can't gain a foothold. Now, besides the obvious benefits of listening doubly as well as we speak, right? Hearing the other person, understanding the other person, becoming aware of other elements of a situation we weren't originally aware of, growing closer to individuals who know we will hear them out, and becoming their friends, and all those other positive benefits, why does God want us to be such good listeners? Does God hope we'll all be diplomats at the United Nations someday? I don't know, maybe. But there is a bigger purpose to all this than simply living a life that has a larger proportion of listening than speaking. The end goal is not just to listen twice as much as we speak. Consider this timeless wisdom. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the wise Christian leader whose wisdom was refined in a Nazi concentration camp, which eventually took his life just days before the Allies arrived, wrote this. He said, "He who can no longer listen to his brother will soon no longer be listening to God either." The reason why God wants us to be such great listeners here on earth with each other is because we will then develop listening skills that allow us to listen to God more closely, hear his word to us more deeply, and be filled by his spirit more fully. So how are your skills in listening to God, friends? Well, if you talk at people instead of listening to them, if you arrive at conclusions about them without hearing their story, then Bonhoeffer and Jesus would say that our skills for listening to God need a lot of work, because the skills we use to listen to other people are the same skills used to listen to God. Bill Donahue wrote a book called Building a Church of Small Groups, and in it he relates a story from his time as a part-time youth pastor while attending seminary. He was visiting a farm where two of his students lived, and he met the father. And the father decided to teach Bill, this part-time youth pastor, a lesson. And Bill writes, "He asked me if I could help him call in the sheep. I enthusiastically agreed. Sheep calling, I figured, was a lot like preaching. I stood with the farmer at the pasture fence and was just watching those 25 sheep graze. Go ahead, he dared me, call them in." So Bill said, "Well, what do you say?" He said, "I just say, hey, sheep, come on in." No sweat, I thought. A city kid with a bad back and hay fever could do this. He began in a normal speaking voice, but the farmer interrupted. "You're 75 yards away. You're downwind and their backs are to you. You got to yell. You got to use your diaphragm like they teach you in preaching class." So Bill writes, I took a deep breath and put every inch of stomach muscle into a yell that revival preachers around the world would envy. Hey, sheep, come on in. Those blessed creatures didn't move an inch. They didn't even turn an ear. Tom the farmer smiled sarcastically. He said, don't they teach you the Bible in seminary? Have you ever read John 10:27? My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So raising his voice only slightly, the farmer said, hey, sheep, come on in. And all 25 turned around and ambled right toward him. Friends, how well can you identify your shepherd's voice in the midst of all the noisy advice of the world? You know, the voices that say, you're not good enough. The voices that say, do you want to be the last one on your block without a new car or a new lawn or a new PS5? The voices which try to soothe you and say, if you just plan for your own comfort and your own care and your own security and just think about yourself, everything will be fine. Well, in order to identify your shepherd's voice, friends, you don't have to become a theologian. You don't have to wear funny robes. You don't have to speak in the King James English. But if you want to work on hearing the shepherd's voice in the middle of all the static, first listen to your friend. Listen to your coworker. Listen to your spouse today. Hear about his or her day. Enjoy the time you spend with them. Listening to your kids and listen to your kids and hear their hopes and dreams and fears and roadblocks. Listen to your coworker. Listen to your boss. Listen to your neighbor. Listen to your friends. Listen to your extended family. Listen to the people you worship with at this church, because every moment you spend listening to people increases your ability to listen to God. It prepares us to do that. Before he was king, David was able to quickly jump out of the way of King Saul's spear because he had been a shepherd who needed great mobility to defend against the predators to protect his sheep. So he was prepared at that point to avoid the spear. Jesus might not have said, a house divided against itself will not stand, unless he had spent years doing bloody knuckled carpentry and learned about building. It prepared him. The Apostle Paul would not perhaps have been as passionate that all could be saved by the grace of Jesus if he had not been so incredibly evil himself before he knew God. His conversion from dark to light prepared him to accept everybody. All those things were in preparation for something that came along later. And you and I can't listen to the King of all kings until that we take the time to truly listen to his subjects. Take a minute and look to your right and to your left. Do that at home if you're sitting next to somebody, but look to your right, look to your left. Those are just some of God's subjects. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So our plan for this week, listen more,
talk less.
Not only will your awareness of people around you increase, but so will your awareness of God, because you'll finally be in a position to listen to the one who created you. All you have to do is listen. Take a deep breath. And listen. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for what you do in our lives. We are so overwhelmed by how you work in our lives. And sometimes, Lord, we wonder why you take the time to work in our lives at all. And then we're reminded that you loved us so much that you decided to take our place on the cross so that we could live. So today, Lord, we hear from you, the one who gave everything for us. And you tell us one of the ways to live an effective, purpose-filled life is to listen to other people intently. Because that develops us. That builds up our listening muscles to hear you. We're tired, Lord, of of life being a crapshoot where we just roll the dice and hope it all turns out for the good. We want to hear what you say. Help us to understand that hearing what you say is preceded by hearing the people who speak to us every day in our lives. Let us get better at that, so we'll be prepared to hear you when you speak. For that, we will always be grateful. In the powerful name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship God.